Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I'm here live at the AKC National Championship presented by Royal Canin. And I am rounding up judges, and I just ran across a wonderful, wonderful man. Elliot Weiss is a judge. He is a breeder. He is a longtime member of the FANCY. And I could not pass up the opportunity to have you come visit with us, Elliot. So thank you.
Thank you for asking.
So give me, we call it the 411, sort of your background. What got you started? When did you start? What did you start? I know the answers to these, but.
Oh, gosh. That's ancient history.
Ancient history is good. We love ancient history.
The first dog show I attended, I was actually, I think, 13 or 14 years old. Mm. And actually, I was taking an art class in Manhattan. My mother thought I was going to be another Da Vinci or something. I wanted to play stickball in the park with the kids, and every Saturday we went through an art class. And the teacher happened to mention about the Westminster Kennel Club.
Oh.
And he said, there's live subjects. And he said, go to it if you possibly can. And I went home and mentioned it to my mother, and my uncle happened to be there, who was a dentist,
right,
and closed his office on Mondays.
Oh.
So he said to me, if you want to go down Monday, we'll go Monday, and then I want to go see a movie. Actually, I remember the movie. It was Ivanhoe, and we went to see it at Rockefeller Center.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
I don't even remember the year. A few years later, my aunt, not my biological aunt, the close friend of the family who I respectfully call aunt, bought a Borzoi bitch.
Okay.
And she said to me, will you come to me? I'm going to a puppy match, and I've never been before. Well, she was about as athletic as this table we're sitting on. And she hands me the leash and says, here, you go do this. And that was the start.
There you go.
I think it was somewhere in the late 50s. I'm not quite sure when, but a number of years later, she purchased for me an American Cocker bitch, and that was my first dog. It was not a very good show dog.
So many American Cockers aren't, though.
I was in college at the time, and I was at the end of my sophomore year, and I was taking a business course, and I realized all of a sudden, I don't want to sit behind a desk the rest of my life. It was just me. I came home and told my family that I almost got disowned. That's another story, but I was at a dog show with my aunt, and I opened up the Gazette, and in the back page was an ad for a show assistant from Ted Young Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
I did not know who Ted Young Jr. was.
Oh,
all I know
goodness.
Was that, so I asked someone who went to see this gentleman, and I told him I couldn't start for 6 weeks. I had to finish the semester, and he said, fine, if you're that interested, we'll wait. And I went to work for Ted, and I went to work for Ted for 3 years before I decided to go out on my own at that time.
Right,
in 1969.
Right. Wow.
And it went on from there. I handled dogs till 93.
Okay.
At which time I had an automobile accident, and I broke a bone in my foot, and I said, you know, this is time. And I went back to school. I finished school. I had a graduate degree. Went to work and started judging in 1994.
Very good.
In my 25th year of judging right now.
Yes. Yes. That was about the time I started handling professionally.
Okay.
So there you go. And what were your breeds over the years that you either bred or that I know you did a lot of setters?
I actually only bred one letter of Irish setters.
Okay.
I showed quite a few Irish setters, and they were very exciting to show and probably one of my favorite breeds to show.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I did breed. Actually, I still co-own a number of bitches. I don't know if I'm going to breed any longer, but English setters for the last 20-some-odd years.
Right.
But I've also owned and bred giant schnauzers over the years and Clumber Spaniel.
Yay, Clumber.
And my dear friend Tom Bradley and I co-owned and co-bred a number of pointers over the years
also. Okay, excellent. I know sporting, I knew, was primarily.
Primarily, yes. Yes, absolutely correct.
Okay, so you now judge sporting hound.
Sporting hound, non-sporting, terrier, and toy.
Okay.
Those five groups complete, and I have breeds in both the working and the herding group.
Yeah, yeah. And when people come in your ring, mm-hmm. when exhibitors come to your ring, what do you want them to know? If you could talk to every single exhibitor who's ever going to show a dog to you, what's the most important thing for you to tell them?
The first thing to do is walk and let the dog stand on its own a second because I'm watching. Mm. And the first thing I'm looking for is a picture. Mm. I do have a picture in my mind of every breed I judge. And yes, sometimes that picture changes because judging is still a learning experience.
Yes.
So you do tweak something here and there over the years. But the first thing to do is I want to please my eye. Mm. And if I please my eye, then we're going to go from there.
Right. Excellent. And so do you have particular things when you're judging that you want exhibitors, like, show up on time, all the basics, but any particular pet peeves?
No, the only pet peeve I have, and I guess a lot of judges have it, is I would say a lot of people, a percentage of people, too large a percentage, really don't know how to bait a dog because all of a sudden their hand's in front of your eyes. Outside of that, and I get past that, I guess I'm kind of easy to go along with.
Yeah. Yeah, I always found you very, you know, easy to show dogs to.
Well, you know, I feel I want to encourage someone rather than discourage them.
Yes.
If I work for a kennel club, the exhibitor is their customer, and I have to do the best I can to make those people comfortable.
And I think that is so important, right, that these people come to the dog show and
we
feel like
back.
They got their money's worth.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And you're a good one to talk to this, having watched the sport for so long, having been a professional handler. We hear a lot today about how professional handlers are the ruination of the thing. And it sounds like people make a noise about a big divide between owner handlers and professional handlers.
Oh, that's been a big divide over the years, as long as I can remember.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, people say, oh, the judge is only going to put a professional handler. Well, if you look back, there were a number of successful, very, very successful amateur handlers. Who a number of them did more winning than most of the professional handlers. It's not true. If you go in and do your due diligence about a breed that you love and you put your time into it, you're going to do the winning. The cream always comes to the top.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can think of Walter Goodman right off the bat. I can think of a number of people. Like I can think of Pat Craig.
Mm.
I mean, there were a number of people that were amateurs and did fabulous, fabulous winning in the dog game.
Sonny Shea.
Big one.
Yeah.
Big one. And she was a character to boot, and
yes.
I loved the dealing.
Yes. I did a wonderful interview with Michael Kennelly's listeners, you'll remember, and some of his stories about Sonny were fabulous. I mean, some I'd heard and some I had not, and they were amazing.
And there's some you can't tell in public.
Exactly. He sort of hinted at them, and I'm like, I don't think we need to know that. And so where do you see areas that, as a sport, we're longtime people, there's new people, what are areas that we can work on to improve retention, keep people here, and bring more people to the sport? Anything you can think of.
I don't think we do enough for junior handlers. I think we should actually teach junior handlers, first of all, confirmation.
Yes.
I think clubs ought to encourage junior handlers to join clubs, even though they may not want to give them, let's say, voting rights, because they may not think they're old enough. But I think they should be more encouraged. I think clubs should get together and do junior weekends and junior workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you'll get volunteers who have been around a long time, whether they be handlers, judges, or just breeders, to come and participate in that.
Yes.
We think in the short term, how can we increase the sport next year? Well, I think we should start thinking, and how can we increase the sport in 5 and 10 years rather than tomorrow?
Yes, I think that is a wonderful point. I do a lot with juniors, so I really agree with that. I think that's excellent. Okay, so we'll see. This may be more than you can do right off the top of your head, but one of my favorite questions, I bet you can do it. One of my favorite questions, your all-time favorite, all the dogs you've seen in judging, in handling, what have you, your all-time favorite best in show lineup.
You know,
we used to do this all the time as handlers, so I know you had to have too.
Oh, no, I'm going to give you an answer.
Okay.
I'm going to preface it by saying why, and I'll tell you where I was at the particular time. I was getting a dog ready for this sporting group, and we were set up at the time under a tent right next to the group, and George Austin walked in with an English foxhound named Winslow.
Oh.
And this dog just walked in and looked at him, and I froze. I put down my brush, and I had to look at it, because when you talk about proportions, everything in this dog flowed into each other. What I mean by that is your eye was not looking at a hindquarter, it was not looking at a forequarter, it was not looking at a top line. Everything, the line, everything flowed together, and I imagined a dog like this just sitting in porcelain on the fireplace.
Wow.
On the mat. He just blew my socks off. And as it turned out, I remember who was judging. Bill Kendrick was judging, who in my opinion never missed the great one. And Bill put the dog up in a second. And later that year, the dog went on to win the Hound Group of Westminster.
Uh-huh.
He is still one of my all-time favorites because proportions and size and everything just flowed together with it.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so do you have one for each group?
Oh, boy. I know.
The Winslow is somebody else mentioned that dog. I can't remember who it was. But yes, can you do each group or we're just going to go with that?
I think you should just go with that because I have a number of favorites in different groups. And if I give you one, let's say in the Terrier group,
right,
I'd be doing a disservice to three or four others.
You know, and that's valid. And there have been so many amazing dogs over the years and iconic dogs over the years, each in different times.
Yeah, very much so. Very much
so. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Elliot. I really appreciate you taking a minute to walk up here into the hinterlands of the national championship.
Fine. It's a pleasure to be up here in quiet for a second. Now we're going to go down to the crowds again at this wonderful event.
It's loud and a lot of beautiful dogs here. So
there are, definitely.
All right, crew. Last month I was filling you in on the Trupanion Breeder Support Program. And in case you missed it, this is a free program for breeders that lets us offer our buyers, our puppy buyers, a go-home day offer so that they can try out Trupanion and everybody has the peace of mind that that puppy is covered in case of any kind of an incident. But I was talking to Haran recently, and I didn't realize at the time that they actually have a breeding rider that is additional to the regular healthcare coverage that Trupanion offers our dogs. And so I wanted to bring Haran Greer from Trupanion back to tell us about it, because I was blown away. So welcome, Haran.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me back. And I'm happy this came up in conversation.
Yeah, right? So tell us about it. This is pretty incredible to me.
Yeah, so I'll just start at the basics. You know, so if you join Trupanion, we just have one simple plan. It's 90% coverage for the unexpected illnesses, accidents, and injuries. And then from there, breeders can add a breeding rider coverage to make sure that they're protected from the unexpected things that can happen with breeding.
Okay, so what does that cover? What kind of things are you covering in your claims with the breeding rider?
So it's truly things that are unexpected. So anything that you can't plan for in advance is what Trupanion gives you peace of mind from, right? But with the breeding rider, you know, the most common claim that we see are for C-sections.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was looking through, I was curious just to see what kind of claims we have been seeing in the past year. I was surprised that pyometra payouts have exceeded what we've paid out for C-section.
Wow.
So the claims paid ranged from the lowest one that we paid out was $1,740, and the highest one to date this year has been $5,500.
That's pretty incredible. So how much does a person pay to add that breeding rider to their regular insurance coverage?
So that rider has variables. You'll want to give us a call or go to our website. The factors are things like where you live, what breed you have, is it a male or female, how old are they, and then the deductible. And those
right.
deductible options is where, you know, the flexibility comes in
mm-hmm.
for your monthly payment. And those range from $0 to $1,000.
Okay, beautiful. So check it out, listeners, puredogtalk.com. You can find the Trupanion website. Just click that logo and it will take you in to get lots and lots of information about some stuff that I think not all of us always think about. So thank you, Haran. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Laura. I hope to be back on soon.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.